November 15, 2020, it's the Watt for Pedro Show.
spent my whole summer building the raft. We never got to vote. You would come over, we would spend hours building it from scratch.
For Pedro Show, happy Sunday. We usually don't do, but whatever. This is quitting quarantino mode, folks. So I'm doing 5 shows a week. We don't know what days of the week it's going to be. I'm just, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Whoa, you can hear, you can tell I'm not totally man alone, people. But let me say, one reason why I do this show is to, like, make good on the debt. I figure, you know, deboon myself and Giorgio, the movement. If we got a chance to get heard, why shouldn't I be, if I got the opportunity, the O word, to let people get themselves heard, right? Okay, so we started off with Untitled Original 11386. Let's say it that way. Fucking what? John Coltrane off that Any Which Way thing that they discovered up in the attic a couple years ago. And then the Shows. Is that a band name, huh? Deluge in a Fountain Cup. And you could hear a voice. You could tell I ain't man alone, people, because of those fucking righteous software engineers in Estonia with their genius Skype invention.
Yeah,
I got Marshall Brown aboard from Columbia, South Carolina. Hey.
How's it going? Hello, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for being aboard. I found out more about James Jamerson, you know, the bass man I owe a lot to. He's South Carolina, but it was one of these islands. I think it was near Charleston.
Really?
Yeah, there's some islands, right? I know right near that town they got bridges they go to some.
Yeah, there are. It's like, I think, I can't remember where. There's a lot of islands there.
Well, I think as a boy, he lived there and then, you know, ended up moving to Detroit and, you know, becoming one of the Funk Brothers for all those Motown hits. But he is a South Carolinian.
That's cool, okay, man. So, you know that.
I owe the state of South Carolina big time because that brother, I mean, I think all of us on bass guitar do. Because, and, you know, he came from the stand-up world, too. So he was inventing, because a lot of, you know, quote, real bass players thought this gimmick that Leo Fender, a guy who didn't even play, he played a little sax and some piano, but he invented this for his friends who torn because no vans yet, right? They're tying the fucking doghouses to the top of station wagons. So it was kind of a necessity kind of thing, but it ends up having its own trip. And in fact, I think it's still finding itself. So thank you, Mr. Jamerson. He ended up in SoCal, and that bass, that Fender P, we don't know where it is. Someone stole it. It says Funk on it. I think at the bottom, where the button is, where the strap, or it's somewhere written on there, Funk. Because Funk, you know, is a sex word, but yeah, it's a music. Like rock and roll is a sex word, shit. But let's talk about your story, man. Marshall, please tell me your earliest music recollection.
My earliest music recollection, well, I was, I'm born and raised in the South in the Bible Belt. So I did have, some like church experience, when I was young, like, singing and all. I often like, give my mom credit for like my ear. She's got an ear and I always like stood next to her in church and she was always singing the harmony. She was never singing what everybody else was singing.
On the root, right? She's
from that, and I guess it was really in middle school, and I really listened to a lot of oldies before that because that's what my parents.
I'm just asking you for the earliest memory. So it's church, and you know a lot of rock and roll comes from church. Like a lot of cats learn to sing, also soul, right? Aretha,
sure.
I'm wondering about the pad you grew up. Was there any instruments?
Not really. My family, it wasn't a family where they sat around and played instruments or anything. My mom played a little bit of piano, but she really didn't play a lot. My sister also played a little bit of piano, but wasn't real serious about it.
So there was a piano in the pad then.
What was that now?
There was a piano in the pad.
There was. And I also, my first guitar, acoustic guitar that I ever got was an old, acoustic guitar that my mom had. She never really learned how to play. She wanted to learn how to play it and just never got to it.
Yeah, but she's waiting for you. So there actually was two fucking instruments. But you didn't have to go through the hell of piano lessons with a mean teacher.
I didn't. I don't really have any like classical training or anything. I really just kind of picked it up and started playing by ear and learned chords on the guitar and stuff. But I dabble with the piano now, but still don't consider myself a pianist.
What about school? Did you... in the choir or a marching band or shit like that?
I really didn't. If I could go back, I probably would. Like, I would have loved to have, played string or something.
Well, that's one reason why I always ask that question, because I'm hoping that listeners hear this, and if they're in a position let's say they're working at a school, let's get the fucking money into some arts and fucking music.
Absolutely, man. Okay. I feel like...
Can you remember, Marshall, can you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
I think it was Nirvana. And I actually came on that even a little late. I think Kurt had already killed himself when I got into it. Like, I was in the, probably like the seventh grade.
Well, you know what Mr. Wells said, no wine before it's time. So don't worry about that. You got into it when you were supposed to. What about the first gig you ever saw live?
The first gig, I was actually in the seventh grade, like my first show that I went to. I can't believe my parents let me go to it, but we have like a, it was a festival that later on they moved to Finley Park downtown, but it used to be, this was the last year, was it the Bombers Stadium? It was a baseball stadium. And they had a big festival out there, and the headliner was Bush, which I was, like, really into at that time.
Well, they sounded like Nirvana, right?
It did. And it was really cool because you imagine, like, seventh grade me and just surrounded by all these people that were yelling out the lyrics and sweating, and everyone had their arms, up in the air and yelling, and it was a pretty fabulous experience.
My first gig was seventh grade, too. And me and D-Boom went and saw T-Rex.
Oh, man, that is... I'm so jealous.
Everybody says that.
Yeah, man. T-Rex could have been my first. I love T-Rex.
Look, you said the guitar was sitting around there. Now, did your mom say, hey, I was going to learn on this, but I ain't. But I'll give it to you if you get lessons. No, you self-taught yourself. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, she gave it to me, and I think I did have a few older people that I looked up to that, gave me just some little pointers, like, this easy Green Day song, you can play that with these four chords, and kind of, and then I just kind of went from there with chord charts and tablature and kind of learned it.
By the way, me and D-Boom, we learned off records. Well, me... I had 8-track. Man, it was hard because you couldn't lift the fucking needle up and put it back.
Yeah.
You had to wait for because they would divide the total thing by 4. That's why it's called 8-track, because they're in stereo. There's 4 programs.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, in the middle of the tuning would just cut out and go to the next. You know, you could play them in cars. That's why people liked them and shit. And also, there wasn't a lot of record machines, so the record companies, I thought, felt a little safer about it. But they didn't sound too good. What about the shit? Now, you're an acoustic, but you probably move up to the electric, right?
Yeah, I remember I had my first electric guitar. It was one of those, like, I think they call it, like, the Strat Pack, but it was a Squire. It was a crappy little guitar, too. I feel like they take the Squire line a lot more seriously than they did when it first came out. It was very much a beginner guitar. But it was a little, the white with the, I guess it was like slightly off white with the white pick guard. It was one of those guys, a little Strat. And at the same time I got that, I got a little practice.
Well, you fuck, you see pictures of Jimmy with the white Strat with the white pick guard.
And, you know, I didn't know, when you're young and it's your first guitar, you don't even know how crappy it is. You realize how crappy it was.
I got to tell you, Marshall, me and D. Boone, our first ones was pawn shop $15 ones. So yours was probably like light years.
Really?
So.
Yeah.
I think D. Boone's was called, D. Boone's was the Melody Plus or something. And mine was Tasco. Yeah. Here, I want to play Chess, Not Checkers.
This is chess. Buckabah Gababaloo. Buckabah Gababaloo. Buckabah Gababaloo. 1, 2, 2. For sure you act like you know what's going on. But the staunchest of diamond black from the velvet beyond is always brighter than you can seem to perceive. Because it comes from outside with an ace up the sleeve. Underhand and dealing from the bottom of the deck is all that you get when you let them write the check. Wipe your own bottom one day, my man. Not let somebody else pay for your minutes. Must be awful exhausted to split infinitives and not even know what that means. Be careful of what flavor ice cream you choose. Do get a little bit of ice cream glue. I'm gonna be licking you. Oh, it's coming to sleep. The smoke on that smoldering fire. Indeed. Remember Thursday? How it was 2 days after when this all began? Ah, 2 days ago is the last I thought that maybe I could rain. And I could sing. It was a beautiful thing. And I sang again. Ask you as a friend. Now, be my friend. Time. Isn't it a beautiful day?
I'm not afraid.
Watt for Pedro show. Yeah, that was Chestnut Checkers, Marshall Brown.
Yeah.
After that, brand new from Huma, Ava. The Hellbeings out of Brighton, England with Scallywag. Now, this is going to come out in December, but you're getting a month early peek, people. Thank you, Hellbeings. 38 Angry Tigers, with Menace. That's one of the Bombas Prendon. In fact, that is Bombas. There's the dude, Bomas. Fuck, I'm still saying their name wrong. these dudes like record like, I don't know, 3,000 songs and only did 5-6 gigs.
Oh, wow.
40 years. Yeah, they're incredible music. Yeah, check it out. They were on the show a few episodes ago. Instant Nausea Pill Bottle from Bomas Prendon after that. Agnes Stett, brother Chris in Austin with a Hard Jargon. He's learned how to record on his leash, so he says it's much easier. The Sticks. Now, Styx here isn't a Chicago band from the old days. This is nephew Alex Hungtai from Dirty Beaches with his buddy in Russia named Pavel with May-1. Dot Wiggin band. You know Dot Wiggin?
No, I don't.
Well, she was one of the sisters in the Shags, 70s band, Philosophy of the World. You got to check that out.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, their father put this band together, and he thought they were going to be, you know, bigger than Cap Beefheart, I don't know.
Yeah.
Speed Limit 2. And then finally, Spaghetti Eastern from Marshall Brown. Okay, so what about the shit after school? Since you weren't doing a lot of music in school and stuff, what about after we got the garage band, basement band, bedroom band, whatever?
Yeah, I played a lot of music in the bedroom. My parents kind of hated it. My dad, I think, he always accused me of killing animals in my bedroom. That's what he thought it sounded like. and I'm sure it did sound pretty bad.
You know what? Yeah, but you know what a farmer might tell you? If you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. So thank you, Pop. So tell me.
Yeah, and you know, eventually there was a point I got in a new amp that was a little louder, and I did set up a spot in like our shed that was in the backyard. So I'd go out there and I could be like really loud out in the shed. Didn't sound so great in there, but I loved it.
What about inviting buddies?
That it came a little later. So in high school, I did have some friends, and that I had one that was kind of learning bass, but it was cool. Even though he was just learning, because it was just someone to have there to play bass, and we learned a lot of Nirvana songs. Basically, is what we did.
But you had no stick man with the beat in the hand.
I did for a while. His buddy played with us, and unfortunately, I don't keep up with those cats anymore that I started out with. Although there was another guy that a buddy Dustin that I still keep up with. He played some guitar with me, and I always liked playing with him because he could sing and harmonize with me, which was just really cool because that wasn't something that I found very often with other people, even that could sing, to be able to harmonize. And so that was really cool being able to have that.
What about you starting to write your own songs? When did that happen?
I did that in high school. I remember building up. I had...
tell me your first song you wrote. Can you remember?
Oh, man.
You want to hear mine? I'll tell you mine.
What is it?
Because I only wrote one as a teenager. Well, maybe two.
Yeah.
But one I remember for sure is Mr. Bass King of Outer Space. And it was about having a bass solo and blowing everybody off the stage.
Nice.
Obviously, I had issues. <'Cause> it was before the movement, and there was a lot of hierarchy in rock bands. And bass and drums was like where you put your retarded friend. It was like right field in Little League.
Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about your first song you wrote, if you can remember.
It's hard for me to remember really my first song. I do recall a song that I had named Lotus Heater. Off of the dudes from, in like the Iliad.
Oh, but yeah.
I don't even remember the song. I don't even remember how it went. I just remember Lotus Eater. It comes to my head. I remember I had a song called that.
But you were inspired by, like, this old Greek story.
I guess in a way. I think I kind of just thought they were cool because they were just lazy.
Now, do these guys, these buddies of yours, did you guys ever do a gig?
We didn't really, other than playing at like a party or two. I mean, if that counts.
Yeah, that counts. You're in front of people.
But that wasn't even really often.
Yeah, but really tell me, can we remember the first one? Can you remember the first one?
The first gig? Well, I did start a band. When I got into college is when I, like, really started gigging just, like, around here in Columbia with a band. I was in a band called The Reverie. That's not true. Actually, before that, so I was in a band called Exit 101 years ago.
you know, it reminds me of that movie, Monty Python and Holy Grail. What's your favorite color? Brown. No, blue.
Yeah. it hit me. The first band technically was Exit 101, but I wasn't really, I was helping write some songs there, but they weren't really my songs. And then me and the drummer split off with one of my other friends and formed The Reverie, and that was, we were playing my songs.
Well, what was the first Reverie gig like?
Hard for me to remember, but probably wasn't too many people there. although we did play some spots, we played New Brooklyn Tavern, and we played, back then, Art Bar was really kicking. And a lot of those places do have actually a pretty good built-in, at that time had a really good built-in crowd. So it might not have been too empty, but.
I'm always interested in the first gig, because you can only have them once, you know, and was it a pants shirt? Was it scary? Did they throw shit, or did they, like, carry up like it was a football game on their shoulders, or, you know?
No, it wasn't that glorious. I wish it was that glorious.
Well, then there's the other side, like the throwing cups of piss or, I'll tell you what really hurts is batteries.
Batteries? That's horrible to throw batteries.
Well, maybe throwing them's pretty bad, but getting hit with them's even worse.
Yeah. And they're, batteries are too
expensive. Also spitting. Spitting when, you have to operate a machine. Because you can't guard your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they just fly right in there. It's disgusting. And especially now that we're aware of this moment in history, you don't want to be fucking spitting down somebody's fucking throat. So I'm always curious about the first gigs, you know. That's why. If you can't remember, you can't remember. But the Reverie, it sounds like your first, but you're writing songs to these guys, you're playing gigs. Did you guys ever record?
We did. All we really did is we went in and played we went to Jam Room Studios, it's still up and running in Columbia, and we did a demo that we did like three songs. I think you could still even find it. I don't know if it's on, I doubt it. I don't think it's streaming on any streaming services. I need to put it up somewhere. I actually was pretty pleased with that. Three-song demo that we recorded is The Reverie. The songs were kind of cool. I do listen to it, and I can tell that I didn't know as much about recording then.
It was your first time, right?
It recorded well, but, like, I didn't know about, like, doubling this or that, or didn't really know how to record vocals. But they took care of us. You know, they took us in, and we recorded three songs in a day.
But Marshall, it was your first time in the studio, so how could you know that stuff?
Yeah. And, you know, after that point, like, about the time The Reverie was splitting up, I started recording myself. Like, all the stuff I have up on my Bandcamp page and it's, like, streaming on Apple Music and Spotify and all those recordings I recorded myself on, like, one of those 8-track, the Tascam 8-track digital recorder.
Yeah.
So at that point, like, I really fell in love with recording. So it's just weird for me to listen back to that demo because I didn't know nearly what I was trying to start learning, you know.
You got to start somewhere. I mean, do you jump on a skateboard and start wailing on the ollies?
Hell no.
You probably take some tumbles first, right?
But it is cool listening to the demo because I still am very proud of it.
Well, that's why I like to talk about it, because you know everybody's got a beginning, and it seems like everybody's got their own way of finding out where they're going with music.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's why I find it very interesting. We're at the first hour of the November 15, 2020 edition of the Watch for Peter Show. Special guest, Marcia Brown. Hold tight for hour two. November 15, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watch for Peter Show.
You build a mountain, you build a roof wrapped around your backbone.
get high, doing that slow mo. Come back covered in gemstones and black holes circle around you. I'm being bird blind in formation. When they dive into the ocean, you come drink some of this potion. It will turn and tumble, roll and rumble. Let the kitchen walls all crumble. Let the wind get on in. Hit the side. It's all the same.
Dancing when I was 12, I was dancing when I was 12, I was dancing when I was out, I was dancing when I was out. Dance myself right out the womb. I dance myself right out the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself right out the womb. I was dancing when I was 8. I was dancing when I was 8. Is it strange to dance so late? Is it strange to dance so late? Dance myself into the tomb. I dance myself into the tomb. Is it strange to dance so soon? I dance myself into the tomb. Is it wrong to understand? the fear that dwells inside of me. What's it like to be alone? I liken it to a balloon. Oh, oh, myself out of the womb. I dance myself out of the womb. Is it strange to dance so soon? Dance myself into the tomb.
show, we start the second hour off with Marshall Brown doing Dr. Selling Apples. And the S people at the end of that title is a money sign.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Okay. Well, it's hard for them to know that, right? If I don't think about it. Sam Bennett, Birmingham guy, but he's been in Tokyo now for 25 years. Turn and Tumble, Roll and Rumble. He was my last guest Friday night. A Sea Level from Cleveland with Wherever I Go, Altered Destiny, Seven Orbits, and Z Remix from Goose and DJ Scotche, Brother Shige. He went to Shanghai and collab with the cat over there named Goose. Nick Cave, John Worcester was on the show last week. And this is something where, just out of nowhere, hey, will you play drums for this recording with Nick Cave, right? The man with the biggest forehead in the music business. And they did a T-Rex song, Cosmic Dance. Marshall Brown, finally. Art School Blues. There was the only jam record I like is that first one, and the great song called This Is a New Art School. Or maybe that's the chorus. And, do what you want, because this is a new art school, you know? But then you are like the Art School Blues.
Yeah, that song is kind of it kind of goes through sections where the sections kind of change and it adds like some kind of weirdness. It was kind of, I felt like the song was kind of just like a silly kind of just experimentation project. At that time I just gotten a new keyboard, that I was using to add a lot of like piano and add a lot of different dimensions to my recordings. That keyboard was good to me. It's crapped out now, but, it was around the time I was recording that album, that keyboard was really important to what I was doing. It allowed me a little more freedom to do some weirder stuff. I think it's got like a harpsichord sound on there, which it's kind of hard to find a harpsichord patch that sounds
like actually good. Not. In old days, like me and Boom, this is why we never play with keyboards. They cost so fucking much. But Univox had one that faked a piano, harpsichord, and clavichord.
Yeah.
And I think you can kind of hear it on that Stevie Wonder Superstition.
Yeah, the clav sound.
And also there was a trippy-ass synthesizer the size of a fucking living room. Called Totem. Tonto. Tonto's, in fact, there was an album that these two guys made that ran that motherfucker. Tonto's some kind of headband. And it's a trippy thing. Yeah, Larry Mellon's turned me on to, I think it's in England now. I mean, it's the size of a fucking room, you know? It's huge. But I'm curious. So as a composing tool, of course, you probably started with guitar. But now you've switched over to keyboard.
Yeah, I've incorporated, I like to incorporate some keys and stuff, and, you know, like I said earlier, I don't consider myself a pianist in any way, like I'm not like great at it. A lot of times when I'm recording, you know, I have to do it 50 times to get it right the way I want it. Be a lot quicker if I was a little more,
together with it. But are you still using the Tascam machine?
I'm not now. Everything, like I said, that's on the Bandcamp page, was with that, but I am working on, I'm hoping to have, I got a 4-track EP that's pretty much mastered, and I've got a, but it was recorded on my computer. I've got an iMac at the house, and recording on that now. Which is cool, you know, in ways, you know, it gives me a lot more flexibility, obviously. But I'm glad that I learned on that 8-track because I learned so many things, just like how to function. You really got to go around your elbows to get to your ass on one of those 8-track digital machines. But I did a lot of editing and a lot of production on that machine. So I feel like it made me ready to go to the computer. And
I got to tell the listeners about this. You got to understand those machines, they got a little gray window with some little fucking numbers maybe, but you don't have the graphic representation like a Pro Tools or Logic kind of trip where you can move stuff around. It's quite a skill to look at that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's literally like anytime you want to like edit a track or something, like you literally have to make points, like a point A and a point B to like copy and paste it or something, and then, you know, you're moving it to whatever second in the song that you need to move it to. Right. There's no click and drag or anything like that. It's real.
Yeah, but like I say, Marshall, like when you were more younger with that acoustic guitar, you learn by doing.
Exactly.
Okay, I want to play Dalmatia Rock.
You If you want someone to hold on, maybe I'm not right. But if you want someone to fly with, we can be angels. Thank you.
Watford Pedro Show, you heard I Just Want to Play, and in parentheses, R&R, and I'm thinking that's more rock and roll than rest and relaxation.
It is.
Marshall Brown, and before that was Silver Thing, Made in Heaven, Deep in the Woods, 6-6 out of Dublin with Oh My God, Bumbo Puto, no, not Puto, fuck, in case you got Pluto, and the planet, or it ain't a planet anymore, right? Yeah, planet. Toid, yeah, tiny guy. Ova. Ova is ovary, right? Yeah, egg. Oof. Molted black, lightning-like rays, strange dog acid. Yeah, okay, that's a title. I think they're from Philippines. And we started off with the shows doing Dalmatia rock. Now, Dalmatia, we got a lot of Croatia immigrant population here in Pedro. And yeah. That's what they call the coast.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't shit you, Marshall. I would not shit you on the Watt from Pedro Show. Okay. Yeah, you know the dog with the white and the black spots is white.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of nervous. Fireman, right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. Tell me about the shows.
So it's technically shows, although I will say it's confusing because our shows.bandcamp, I think, was taken, so we're the shows. On Bandcamp, and then our Instagram handle is No More Shows. So it definitely can be confusing.
Well, what should what should I put on the playlist?
Shows.
Okay, tell me how this band got together.
Yeah, so it really was Dylan Dickerson, who's a friend of yours and a friend of mine. We had back a while back, I guess, like way earlier in the year, we had done a little song together. It was actually a song that I wrote. He came over. He just got him a new Vox keyboard. He was wanting to test out. So he came on, and I just kind of got the idea. I was like, why don't we just do this little song I wrote and kind of finish writing the verses? And we recorded it together and just released it under Marshall Brown and Dylan Dickerson. But that was – I don't collab a whole lot, really. I'm so used to doing everything myself. Yeah. So that was really refreshing working with him. And then Dylan just came to me and was like, hey, man, my friend Brett Nash from Charleston, and he's in a lot of bands down there, but Secret Guest is his, I think it's like his main gig.
He's been on the show.
Yeah, he's been on the show as well. So Dylan came to me and was like, dude, you got a song you want to throw in together with these two songs? He sent me like little iPhone recordings of a song, this Delusion of Fountain Cup, and Brett's song, which is Dalmatian Rock. And they were just like little iPhone recordings, like barely written. I was like, yeah, man, I have a lot of songs kind of put back for the future that some of them kind of have a place where I might want them, like on a record or something with fit with other songs. And I have some that are just kind of outliers. And I picked that one, which was Uninvited, which is my song. And then we just kind of had a day and really slammed Dalmatian Rock, which very quickly we started feeling like, you know, this is the song, and wanted to title the EP Dalmatian Rock. Great song by Brett. We got together and just kind of together, like kind of finished writing. I think Brett had somewhat of an idea for like a bridge to the song. And, so we just kind of hit it hard and spent a day, recorded the drums, recorded the bass and one guitar, and then got, Brett's lead vocal on it. And then it was a second session. And we had recorded the drums for Delusion of Fountain Cup to that same day, Dylan's song. And then had another session where we came in and just filled everything out. I got Brett to, and we're just recording this at my house with my equipment. But we got Brett to, you know, double some guitars here and there. And then I laid down some background vocals on Dalmatian Rock, got Dylan's vocals on it. It just was really, really just kind of happened out of us just having fun and enjoying working with each other, because I think we all kind of have a good respect for each other as musicians. And I think we all three are somewhat artists that, like, really don't do a lot of collaboration. So it was really just kind of refreshing just to have, you know, some other good musicians to work with and write with. And you know, we tried to divvy up all the parts. So generally, if like on Dalmatian Rock, Dylan's actually playing drums, which he doesn't even normally play drums.
So what you're telling me is the shows kind of started off as a recording project.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, we're at the end of the second hour, November 15, 2020, edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Marshall Brown. Hold tight for hour three. November 15, 2020, it's the third hour. The Watt from Pedro Show.
I can piece together right, as long as I have the time. I can write a pretty song and open many seats. I can sweep you off your feet if you were to tie it down. I can get away with so much if your man was not around.
Thank you. speak and have times, practice of that hardness, and has reverence for all that is severe and hard. In my breast, as an old Scandinavian saga, just rightly expressed from the soul of a proud Viking. Such a type of man is even proud of not being made for sympathy. The hero of the saga therefore adds warningly, he who has not a hard heart when young will never have
one.
The noble and brave who think thus are the furthest removed from the morality that sees precisely in sympathy or in acting for the good of others or in désintéressement the characteristic of
the nor can we even infer from them to it.
It is the power to know, it is their art, their domain of
the operations of human art.
The
relation and reward of these things to the moral purpose.
We are on the point of successfully ridding
ourselves of progress and the future, and are more enlightened in
respect. Why then can only be represented by an idea
which theoretically have a place.
It's a little vivisection of the dome. A German who would embolden himself with that, two souls, alas, dwell in my breast, would make a bad guess at the truth, or more correctly, he would come far short of the truth about the number of souls.
Not from the religious point of view, or a manifest authority, that we cannot for itself, this conception would have no value. Hence, there can be no comment on political philosophy as the practical science of right, and moral philosophy as the theoretical science of right. To look first at that state of things arranged by nature, those who live and act as on the stage or a great theater, an opposition can only arise between them when the science of morals is regarded as a general doctrine of prudence or expedience. Thereafter, we shall consider the manner in which this guarantee is implemented and useful for the attainment of useful and advantageous objects. This amounts to nine general pillars of science of this relation. Consists mainly in these politics may be regarded as saying, be wise, i.e., prudent. They might populate even the most inhospitable regions.
Two can be combined throughout.
And third,
any idea of
by the same
between
means
them is absurd.
She has compelled and them to enter into relations more or less rightfully with one another. The facts that come here into view are truly wonderful.
It is true that saying
thus
honesty is
in this whole icy waste surrounding
the
there grows the moss
by practice,
which the reindeer scrapes forth,
and yet
from beneath the snow,
in
order that it may itself
honesty
become food,
is better than policy,
or that it may be yoked
is
in the sledge of the Ostia,
all objection,
or the Samoyan.
And it is even
and
to
in like
honesty,
manner,
or honor
the wildernesses of sand,
of all
barren though they be,
to
yet clearing the
camel,
which appears to have been
created
for traveling through them. In order that they might not be left
to Jupiter,
unutilized,
the limiting divinity of force.
Still more distinctly does the sign appear when we come to know how, along with the fur-clad animals on the shores of the Arctic Ocean, there are seals, walruses, and whales,
with
and furnish food by their flesh,
enable it,
and warmth, and light by their fat, to the inhabitants around.
The conduct of men according to the mechanism of nature, however much I wish it had been fortunate you directed to it.
The noble past is always the whole thing.
Their
superiority did not
exist
according to all in their physical, but in their psychical
shows us everywhere.
They were more complete
in the light of the final
everything. Also implies the same as more complete beasts.
The practical man, however,
corruption, as the indication of
morality
is threatened to break out among the instincts
of
the foundation of the emotions called life, is convulsed, is something radically different according to the organization in which it manifests itself. When, as an aristocracy like that of France at the beginning of the Revolution, flung away its privileges with sublime disgust,
after men,
of its moral sentiments, it was good.
No, it is
bad.
It is a voluntary determination of all individual
choosing after the
constitution according to salt and iron were discovered, which were perhaps the first articles that were sought far and near, and which meant
step by step its lordly prerogative loaded itself to a function of royalty, in the end even to its decoration and parade dress.
A problem may be attained, or such a path to be an easy return provided so that men could thus be able to live everywhere on the earth. She has likewise, at the same time, despotically willed that they shall live everywhere upon us, although against their own inclination, even without any idea of duty being connected with this determination through a moral law. On the contrary, she has chosen war as the means of attaining to this end. And upon such compulsion, in point of fact, we see certain peoples whose unity of descent is made known by the unity of their language, far divided from each other. Thus, the Samoyeds on the Arctic Ocean are of the same race as other tribes speaking a similar language a thousand miles away from them in the Altaian Mountains. Another race of Mongolian origin, equipped with horses and of a warlike character, having pressed in between them, and having thus driven the former apart from the latter,
when
to those inhospitable regions, whither their own inclination certainly never
carried them.
In like manner, the Finns in the northernmost tract of Europe, where they are called Laps,
the judgment of other states as to how it shall serve.
Their existence, like those sun-seeking climbing plants in Java, they are called Supermatador, which encircle an oak so long and so often with their arms of steel at last high above it, but supported by it as they can unfold their arms.
Thus, a race entirely distinct from all the other American tribes, and the same may be said,
or cosmopolitical
and if possible, even as the fundamental principle of
nature has thus used war as the means of getting the earth everywhere populated. War, however, requires no special motive for its explanation. It appears to be ingrafted on human nature. It is even regarded as noble in itself, man being stimulated to it by the love of glory without regard to selfish interests. Thus, martial courage, among the American savages and among the Europeans in the age of chivalry, was considered to be of great value in itself, not merely in time of war, as was right enough, but just because it was war. And thus, war was often entered upon merely to show off this quality. An inherent dignity was thus attached to war itself. So the people and philosophers have glorified it as giving a certain nobleness to humanity. I'm mindful of the Greek saying that war is bad in that it makes more bad people than it puts away. So much then in reference to what nature does in carrying out her own design in regard to the human race as a class of her creatures. The question then arises as to what is the essential meaning and aim of this design of a perpetual peace.
it made England thus. What does nature do in its respect with reference to the end which man's own reason presents to him as a duty, and consequently, what does she do for the furtherance of his moral purposes? And further, how does she guarantee which is man ought to do as a model according to the ideas of freedom, and yet does not do?
No,
it would manifest by him prejudice to political expediency, which is agreement with the others to destroy the existing elements of natural and cosmopolitan union before there was a better constitution ready to take their place. Hence, it would be absurd to demand that every imperfection in the Constitution should be at once violently removed. It may, however, be reasonably required that the maxim of the necessity of such an alteration should be consciously recognized by the Supreme Court,
in order the antithesis good and evil is a different realism. The coward
is best according to the laws of right.
Those thinking merely of narrow utility
govern itself even in a republic.
Moreover, also the distrust with their the self-abasing, the dog.
And this may go on until the people gradually become capable of being influenced by the mere idea of the authority of the law, as if it possessed the physical power of the state, and consequently came to be capable of legislating for themselves, which is the mode of government originally founded upon right.
Still more so to maintain.
But if, through the violence
so much
of revolution
this case
caused by the evils
that many have asserted
the
realization of a true and
lawful constitution
would be like a state formed by angels,
even in a wrong way,
because men with their selfish
it
inclinations
no longer be proper to hold
incapable
it
of carrying
to
out
back
constitution
against
so
the
sublime
old constitution. Although
in these circumstances,
in the revolution by violence,
nature comes
or
to the aid of the rational and universal will of man,
to the penalties attached,
however
to
honored in itself.
As regards the external relations of the states,
and it
however,
does this
one
just
state
by means
cannot
of these
be called upon by another to give up its constitution.
Thus,
although
it may
be a despotic
turns only upon a good organization,
therefore to
the
be
state,
the stronger in relation to
within
external
the power
enemies,
of man,
so long
whereby
as
the powers of the
state
will
runs a danger
and is
suddenly swallowed up by
each other. The one
hence,
will check the destruction
when any such
idea
was made
or nullified.
Be allowed to defer
and hence,
the
result will be as the same as if these forces did not exist when their evil effects are thus neutralized. And man, although not possessed of real moral goodness, yet becomes constrained citizen. The problem of the institution of a state, however hard it may appear, would not be insoluble even for a race of devils, assuming only that they have intelligence.
And it may be put as follows. A multitude of rational beings, all requiring laws in common for their own preservation, and yet of such a nature that each of them is inclined secretly to accept himself.
I took my head for its midnight walk. Oh no, it hadn't been outside in days. I kept the link by my side, but it wasn't quite tight, and I lost it. So now I'm wandering the countryside. Right past the thought goes in the graveyard.
Show. Started the third hour off with Marshall Brown doing an old one. People enlighten me off air. Love and War / Fool's Gold. Then Wasted Space. It's a Crane. Dirk Vandenberg, John Rotnowski, and their buddy Charlie from a long time ago. And he's been flowing me, I guess you'd call it archive.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where, like, Love and War, Fool's Gold is from. Music. After that was Perpetual Peace from Music with My Insane Friend. Or My Insane Music with My Friend. Lewis Call after that, Like a Match. And finally, Uninvited from the Shows. So, the Shows... I was wondering if the Shows did any shows.
We haven't. It really kind of, we ended up naming ourselves that because it was just kind of funny to us because everyone's saying, I miss shows because no one's really playing right now because of COVID.
Well, we're playing, but we just ain't doing it in front of people.
Exactly, yeah. And
because you would not believe all the recording I'm doing these days.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would not believe how much collabs and stuff because of the internet and trading files.
Yeah, and it is really cool. I've seen, like, with COVID and everything, I have seen a lot of artists, like, come together and do more things like that. It's been interesting to see how, you know, different things that artists have been doing because the times are a little different and that people have been adapting and doing things a little different with, like, live streams and stuff. Just trying to keep busy any way they can. I think it's been real interesting.
Well, think about it, man. And when you take it for granted, like when things are a little healthier, and you got bar bands just doing top 40. They're taking that opportunity that you can play in front of people and just filling up space while people drink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think maybe we'll think about how important it is. But the shit, because how technology is made, recording stuff, you kind of look at that. You can do whole albums and shit or an EP in your pad, you know? It ain't all bad days. Bad new days is what I should say, right?
You're right, and it's good to be positive.
And keep
trying to work.
And I'll tell you this, it kind of is hard for me to write at a gig, hard for me to write on tour. I like doing gigs, I like doing tour, but I have to do it kind of in the bunker.
Yeah.
So, what you got future plans for shows?
We do. We just put out that EP, Dalmatian Rot. We put that out. It actually officially came out on streaming services and on Bandcamp.com on Friday, this last Friday. And we actually have some cassette tapes of the EP that you can order on theshows.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
So those are for sale. We don't have a lot of them, so if you want it, you better get it.
What about this tune? But digitally they could get your shit. What about Uninvited? How did that come? You didn't talk about that one.
Yeah, so that one was the third song on the EP. That was my song that I brought to the table. It was a little more of a slow burner. It was kind of the last one we really worked on, just because we were working at my house, so I knew I could go and kind of get that ready later. And it was one, I actually went and did the 12-string guitar and the acoustic guitars all ahead of time, and then Brett came in, came back in a different session and overdubbed the drums over it, and he actually also played bass on that one. And and then I had a good friend of mine, Jared Pirates, who plays in King Vulture. He's played in a lot of bands in Columbia, but King Vulture has been his latest. We sent him the track, and he recorded it at his house and put the guitar solo on that, which is really cool. So we're happy to have him and let him be a part of it. It's more of like a kind of a slow burner song, but I think it's really pretty. And we got, it's kind of a lush arrangement. Dylan sings a background vocal on that one, harmonizing with me. It was a fun one to do. It was one that that song I had on my back burner.
Yeah.
Uninvited
to me sounds like the Bum Rush. Now we're going to leave the show world and go back to Marshall Brown world. I want to play Rare Birds.
Right on.
Thank you.
asking me, should he be keeping up with a hummingbird's disease? Why should he spread one wing? So he could just be sitting there, the wind will brush his feathered hair, it'll feel like a bird.
Thank you. Thank you.
Baby, you know I didn't mean to abuse you. You know I'm not ready to lose you. See, I just figured the square foot of trouble I'd catch for telling the truth is well worth the mile of trouble I'd catch for telling the lies.
I never kissed her the way I kissed you.
Lock for Pedro Show last music for this edition. We started off with Rare Birds from Marshall Brown, then Tollum with The Sound, Hi Maya, Hydrogen Hover, The Side Effects of Falsehood. That's live there. Alan Ravenstein from the original Peru was in that. He told me him and his buddy made this band. He was going to school at Ohio State, and those kids got killed at Kent State. He said, "Fuck, I want to make music."
Yeah.
He said he quit school. Then finally, My Love to Lose You to the Ocean from Marshall Brown, and very heartfelt.
Thank you.
Yeah. So something like the shows, like, yeah, what I brought, you know.
Yeah.
Versus Marshall Brown, where you know this Petri dish, this is my experiment. That's why you use your name, right?
Yeah, that's right. I've always kind of regretted that I didn't make more of like a band name for myself, even though it is just me. But I got so far into it, we're just going as Marshall Brown, I figured I'd just stick with that.
Yeah, and also this way we know who to blame.
That's right. It's all on me. And you know, it's funny you say that, because I actually
Say it again, Marshall.
I was just saying, I kind of like doing most everything like myself for that reason, because I kind of like to, even sometimes I'll know, like, you know, I know a player that could do this piano line a lot quicker and maybe better, but there's something, I don't know, I like having a stab at it and it just being mine. There's something about that and you know, I take, like you said, all the blame. Anything that could have been better is my fault.
No, I was going to tell you that's how you can tell one of my projects is like I'm the shot caller, because I'll put my name in it. Like the missing man or the second, you know, I don't blame those guys. I take the blame.
Yeah.
But when I'm collabing with somebody, we'll use a neutral name, you know, like. I'm doing one with Tom Herman right now, one of the original Perubu guitar players, called Ship to Shore. And Tom Herman, I have so much respect for. I could not imagine, Mike Watt and Tom Herman. No. Let's give it a name, so it's kind of this collab. But
so what is it going as?
Ship
to Shore.
Because he's on the shore of Lake Ontario, right? Or Lake Erie, Cleveland.
That's right. Okay, gotcha.
Lake Erie. And then I'm on the Pacific Ocean here in Pedro.
Yeah.
So you can get to him because of the Erie Canal. You know, the Atlantic Ocean goes up the Hudson River to Erie Canal into Lake Erie. So and then Atlantic Ocean through Panama Canal goes Pacific, goes to Pedro. So you actually could...
Wow.
It would be, especially in a kayak, it would take a little time. But
yeah, for sure.
What's your next? Where can people find you? I mean, you gave them a hint about the theshows.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, so that's the shows. And then mybandcamp.com is marshallbrown.bandcamp.com.
Is there a Marshall Brown website?
Technically you can go to marshallbrownmusic.com, but it's just going to route you to the Bandcamp page.
Okay. You'll get to it.
But that stuff is on all the streaming services as well. There's a lot of material on there.
At least you own that URL. No motherfucker is like squatting on it.
Yeah.
Like I had to get mine from some.
I got it.
Yeah, I had to get mine from some asshole who was not named Mike Watt. Okay. Yeah. Why you do that? I know why they do that. So you have to buy it from them.
Yeah.
Right. So, and what are you looking at next? More Man Alone?
What's that now?
As far as music, more Man Alone or more collabs? More work with Grant.
I am looking forward to pushing forward with shows, because I do think we're planning on maybe sometime soon maybe doing a another like little EP, which I'm looking forward to that. We have like some ideas for songs we might use for that. I am working on a lot of stuff for my solo project. I've got a 4-track EP that I'm hoping to have out maybe by the end of the year, but might wait till after the holiday and just release it like early next year. And then I also have a full length that I'm tying up. I'm about to get some strings players in.
When you get that full length done, will you come back on the show and let's play it and talk about it?
I would love to.
We're probably talking about the spring, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe it'll be a nice spring. I think we're not going to be out of the woods with COVID, really, but we'll see how it goes.
Big honor to have you on the show, Marshall. I love to hear a guy that's inspired and wants to fucking do music.
Absolutely.
Big love. So until that next time, you keep right on keeping on, please. People, it's been the November 15, 2020 Dishwap Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.